Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, and great specials as well. These are the specials running now at Brewers Outlet between now and Tuesday. Schaefer regular and light 30 packs, $12.95. Smith & Forge 24-pack bottles, $19.95. Shock Top Ginger Wheat 24-pack bottles, $9.95. They also have water, wine coolers, soft drinks, snacks, peanuts, which are roasted fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Thanks to Neil Coulong, who joined us in the previous half hour. In a few moments, Dick Girardi at the Preakness this half hour. Coming up Monday, Dan Baker, public address announcer for the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. On Tuesday, we will have with us Alan Bestwick, the voice of the Indianapolis 500. And Tony Knopf, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, and John Kruk will join us on Wednesday. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Payoff pitch. It's a high fly ball to right field. If it's fair, it's gone. Are we going to ring a bell again? We're going to ring a bell again! Two-run homer for Josh Bell. 2-0 Pirates. He has done it again with those hands. He brings them in, tucks them in, and finds a way to lift it out of here. How impressive has he been?
Greg Brown with a call on the Pirates Radio Network. The Pirates took 2 out of 3 from the Nationals, winning 10-4 yesterday at PNC Park. All right. Let's go down now to Pimlico and Maryland's own Dick Girardi.
Very nicely done, Steve.
I mean, nothing like a Maryland crab cake.
Now, when I crossed the state line yesterday, they were waiting for me with crab cakes.
And I know exactly the spot.
That's right. And then tomorrow night, they will be awaiting me with hard shell crabs. Oh. Actually, I'll have to go pick them up. But they will be eating.
Well done.
Many of them.
Well done. The headline in the Philadelphia Daily News is right to the point. Always dreaming, has the talent to win the Preakness, but will he? Dick, let's start with the trip in the Derby. You watched it, and what struck me was the horse, Always Dreaming, had a clean face, and Johnny Velasquez, had clean goggles. What kind of trip did he take in the Derby?
Perfect. Couldn't have been any better. Great rider. Gave him a great ride. Had a decision to make on the first turn. Do you stay inside, or do you pop out behind the front runner and get away from the horses behind you? And that's why you pay Johnny V money, because he made the right decision, got himself clear, as you said, Steve, with all that mud, slop, and goo and everything. He was able to look like he was in a horse race. Dream trip for a really good horse who puts himself in those kinds of positions in most of his races, and that's why he's been so successful.
All right, now we get to Todd Pletcher. It's not natural, obviously, for a trainer to train a horse for a race that's 2 weeks away. Fair statement.
Yeah, it was funny, Steve. I was just on a show a little while ago, and I mean, your listeners can certainly relate to this. To me, it's like a football team coming back in 4 days.
Right.
They don't do that, right? I mean, it's a week. That's just typically in horse racing these days at the top levels. It's a month between races, so that's a stressful race. But Triple Crown competition is different, and it's the one time in horses' careers at that level they're going to be asked to come back in 2 weeks.
And it's only the third time overall that Todd Pletcher has taken a horse from the Derby to the Preakness. I believe that number is correct. And if so, what adjustments has he had to make as to how he trains?
Yeah, I think what he did, the only time he won the Derby and then came here was with Super Saver 7 years ago.
Right.
And he kept him at Churchill Downs, gave him a timed workout. And by the time he got here, Todd has said this all week, he just wasn't the same horse. He didn't look good on the track. So what he did with Always Dreaming is he got him out of Churchill, sent him to Pimlico Tuesday after the Derby, and he's been here ever since. And I would just say by watching him on the track, he looks very similar to how he did before the Derby. And he hasn't had a time workout because the theory is, he's already fit. What does he need a workout for?
Right.
And he's fast. You know he's fast, so that's not an issue. So, yeah, Todd has adjusted. And it's also, Steve, not part of his program. He doesn't run, he more than really anybody, doesn't run horses back in 2 weeks. So those are the unknowns. The known is this horse is having a phenomenal 2017. He's 4-for-4. He's won by 23 lengths. He's never lost gone around two turns, and he's never lost for Todd Fletcher. So, yeah, obviously, he'd be the horse to beat.
And there really is only one other speed horse in this thing, right? I mean, Conquest Mo Money's yep. probably the only other one, right?
Yeah, unless they get really aggressive with Classic Empire, and I think they're going to be aggressive. It's just a question of how aggressive. I was just hearing from some friends last night. We were at dinner, and they said that in talking to Mark Cassie, the trainer, look, he's not stupid. He knows who the horse to beat is, and they're right outside of Always Dreaming. So I think there's every chance that they try to shadow him early. So he would be your third speed horse if there is one. But other than that, the other seven really don't have any speed at all.
And then you look at, we talked about the trip. You had made this point to me probably the Monday after the Derby, and you said, look, there's mud on the track, but there was also a compacted area, and Johnny V found the compacted area, didn't he?
Yeah, that was really a golden path. It was as close to the rail as you could get. I mean, I know Stevie followed the Derby. Calvin Burrell won the Derby 3 out of 4 years,
yeah.
07, 9, and 10. Did the same thing all three times. Twice on off tracks with Mind That Bird, who had no business winning. Super Saver never did anything after that. And Street Sense, who was a really good horse back in 07, but he rode that rail. And when you get rain and mud at Churchill, the rail's even better. Always Dreaming was on it almost all the way around, with the exception of the backstretch when he came outside that one horse. And looking at Leo, his second never left the rail until the late in the stretch when the jockey pulled him off the rail to try to go around Always Dreaming, which was never going to happen. So, yeah, the rail was absolutely, it's funny, you can even see it on the NBC shot. It looks different. And I was out with Randy Moss last night as their analyst on their broadcast tomorrow, and I said, "Are you all going to show that?" He said, "Yeah, yeah, they're going to show it at some point, just so people can get a sense of it. Just looked different." And I mean, looking at Lee as a decent horse, but he was running faster than he should have been running on the turn.
Right.
And I think it was on a part because he was on a part of the track that was the hooves weren't going in as deep, and obviously if they're not going in as deep, you're going to run faster.
Does the lack of traffic, instead of 20 horses, obviously much fewer than that, does that help a horse like Classic Empire, for example?
Absolutely. I mean, he was 13th after a quarter mile in the Derby. He obviously can't be 13th in
right.
the Preakness.
Right.
And my suspicion is, Steve, he's going to be no worse than third. That changes everything. When you have a horse, a competitive horse, a horse who has a resume, which he certainly has, much better off when they're in the race, I mean, like right in the actual race where they're racing up front, rather than being bogged down in the back with all that mud flying. Now, I wrote about this today. Now, I think Classic Empire has a legitimate chance to win.
Right.
Now, he's going to have a cleaner path. He's going to have a good chance to show what he has. The question is it going to be good enough to beat Always Dreaming?
Obviously, it's the 16th shorter. But when you looked at the horses about, you always tell me, Steve, I like to look at horses the next 100 yards past. Let's see what's going on. When you looked at 100 yards past the finish line at the Derby, what did you see?
Always Dreaming was still rolling. The gallop out is huge in horse racing because generally it will tell you whether the horse was all in or had something left for the next one. The best Derby gallop out I've ever seen, and maybe in history, was Barbaros in 2006. They couldn't stop him, Steve. He just wanted to keep running. I mean, he won by 5 or 6. By the first turn, he was up by 20.
Right.
I mean, it was just wild. He just kept running away from the horses. That's unfortunately that ended very sadly 2 weeks later when he got hurt. But this was about the closest I've seen to Barbara. It wasn't quite that eye-catching, but it was pretty darn good. And I wrote about it in a story that's going to appear online tonight on Philly.com. It'll be in the paper tomorrow.
All right. That's interesting. What about, we talked about Johnny Velasquez. What about any other jockey influence in this? Because obviously Johnny Velasquez, I mean, there's a jockey influence there.
He's the best. Yeah, I mean, he's the best of his generation. And again, it's very subtle, but when they show the replay tomorrow on NBC, and I'm sure Jerry Bailey will talk about this, just watch about the little move he makes in the first turn. It's real subtle. He looks around. Where is everybody? He just didn't want to take a chance on getting trapped. That's what the good jockeys do. They get their horse in a comfortable spot, and he's as good as it gets. He's got a little few more decisions to make tomorrow, Steve, because I think he would rather have been outside than inside of Classic Empire and Conquest Momani, but he is inside. He is a target. It'll be the other jockeys, obviously, are going to be looking at him. Where is he? What's he doing? So he's probably going to have some decisions to make in the first half mile of the race to put the horse in a great spot. I'm not a fan of the jockey of Classic Empire, Julian LaPerouse. He just doesn't ride aggressively enough for me, but I think his instructions, I'm being told, are you better ride aggressively tomorrow. So I suspect he'll be in the race with Classic Empire.
Talk about the fact that this is at Pimlico. This is a tradition. You know this track like the back of your hand. There had been some talk years ago that maybe Laurel should be hosting the Preakness. What is the status of Pimlico and the Preakness?
Yeah, I mean, it's been ongoing. There was a thing, I don't know, 10 years ago there were talk. I have Pimlico's run down. They're going to move it out of Maryland. Well, that was never going to happen. It's just too big an economic boost to the city of Baltimore and the state of Maryland. Now it's all right. They're going to move to Laurel Park at some point, which is about 25 miles south toward D.C. down the Baltimore-Washington Expressway, I-95. And the people that own Laurel also own Pimlico, and they've been spending all their money at Laurel. So the theory is that at some point they'll try to move it. There's a couple problems. One, they got a lake there, so there's no infield. There's no Preakness without an infield.
Right.
It's not the same.
That's right.
Yes, this place is run down. Yes, it's got issues. Yes, they would like to be able to put up suites and maximize the revenue and all of that. And they're not going to do that because it's not cost effective. You know what, Steve? It is kind of a dump. But it's my dump. I love it. In fact, you're going to kick out of this. I walked in with Larry Colmus, who's going to call a race tomorrow.
Right.
Who I've known forever. I knew him when he was a kid, standing up on the rooftop here calling races as a high school kid at Mount St. Joe's. And we both said the same thing. Just like, it's not the same. You can't get it out of here. So they only run 12 days a year here. So why not just have like a week or two meet at Pimlico every year and have the Preakness here and then spend all your money in Laurel? That's fine. As long as the building is still standing, it can survive one day when they have 125,000 people. Because the rest of the time it's a ghost town anyway. So what's the problem?
Right.
I'm hoping it stays here forever. But, yeah, there's always that talk about it. It would not be the same if it wasn't at Pimlico.
How do you want to play it tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm afraid this is going to be hard to play because I think there's a real chance that the two favorites are going to run 1-2 in some order, which makes money. Probably the way, I wouldn't advise anybody to bet very much because it's probably a losing bet, is maybe take Classic Empire over a couple of long shots like Cloud Computing, Conquest Momani, maybe Senior Investment, and hope that the 2 weeks is going to get to Always Dreaming. I wouldn't bet much on it. It's possible. I'm not in a position where I'd be pulling out a lot of dollar bills on that proposition.
Not a lot of paper.
No. It'd be one of those small investments to potentially win some money. But yeah, I don't know how you could feel confident betting a whole ton of money against Always Dreaming. So I was out with a bunch of friends last night, including the legend down here, Washington Post, Andy Beyer, who does not have Always Dreaming in his top four. He says, I'll try to imitate him as best I can. He has no shot.
I can hear him.
Just tremendous. Yeah, he doesn't like him because he had the perfect trip in Kentucky, and he'll get over bet, both of which are true. And Todd doesn't win races usually with horses coming back in 2 weeks, all rational. But it's just not a very good field, and he's got a great tactical advantage because there's not much speed, and he's got Johnny V. And I watched the gallop out, and he was still rolling. So,
yeah,
it's hard to take a big stand against him, but that's why I love Andrew. He is never in doubt.
We know a few of those people.
Yes, we do. Yes, we love those kind of people. We love those kind of people.
Yep, and you know what? They deliver an opinion. We look, laugh later, because it's the way it's delivered.
that's what makes it great.
Dick, always a pleasure, my friend. Great to hear you.
Sounds good, Steve. We'll talk to you in 3 weeks, pal.
All right.
Belmont Stakes, so be there. are you at a wedding that day? You can't be.
Oh, well, yeah. It doesn't mean I can't slip over and watch it on a TV.
I understand. I get it. I have no doubt that you will.
I think that's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dick.
See you, Steve. Bye.
Dick Girardi from Baltimore at Pimlico. His dump, as he calls it. He says, hey, look, it's a dump, but it's my dump.
Not a hesitation. He proudly claimed that.
Hey, it's fine. That's fine. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
To have you with us on this Friday, and our thanks to Dick Girardi for being on the show today from Pimlico, Neil Coulong on the NFL in the 3:30 half hour. Check it out in the Steve Jones Show podcast. And coming up on Monday, Dan Baker, the brilliant public address voice of the Palestra, Citizens Bank Park, at one point the Eagles. Tuesday, it'll be Alan Bestwick. We'll be calling the Indianapolis 500 for ABC. He is the play-by-play voice of the Indy 500, his last assignment for ESPN, unfortunately. And also Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. And coming up on Wednesday, John Kruk is going to join us. So again, in advance, we apologize for the slipshod guest list. We need to have conversations.
Okay. I got the summer to work on it.
Summer?
At least I hope I do.
Yeah, next week. No. I mean, everyone wants to know, what is the philosophy of our scheduling here? And it's very simple. It comes down to two words. Chop, chop. What did you think I was going to say? Bada boop, bada boom? No. Not going to happen. Chop, chop. Come on. I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, you send me all these emails. It's, I don't know. Or all the requests he sends. You should see all the requests he sends out. And he does not take no for an answer.
Well, you don't know unless you try. I mean,
some of your responses are just downright rude. No,
yeah. When I get to the fifth email to that PR person or to that representative, yeah, so, these emails are getting shorter and shorter.
What a problem here.
He left out the bio of the host on that last email, so he's getting right to the point.
I don't know if I want to talk to that. I'll give you an example. We have put out for a request for Ernie Johnson. I would not doubt that it does not happen until after the playoffs are over with, or at least until they're done with the Eastern Conference final.
Yep, just released a book about a month or so ago. Yes, right. His publisher told me that. Yep, after the playoffs, he'll be good to go.
Jim Miller, who wrote a book about ESPN and about SportsCenter.
Now overseas, he'll be back middle of next week, and we'll touch base with him and get that locked up.
We also asked for Brandel Chambly of Golf Channel. The reason I asked has nothing to do with Ian Poulter. Nothing. But, it, of course, is a topic that will come up. I just feel that in golf, you know, what separates Johnny Miller from other golf analysts is not afraid to look out and say, hey, look, you're not getting it done. Brandel Chambly is the same way. If he doesn't think you're getting it done, he'll just say you're not getting it done. It's not personal. It's just an observation. Well, that's the kind of guest I want to get on and talk to about golf. So those are some of the requests we have out. The suit had several suggestions, but they're all former Olympians nobody heard of. What?
No, it's true.
Stop laughing.
102 years in business is spectacular for you.
Here's why.
During the month of May, Sunbury Motors Ford is going to sell 102 new Fords by discounting every new Ford to the lowest price possible. Plus, give you more for your trade. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 39 new Escapes starting at $19,380. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from new F-150s starting at $24,919. Sunbury Motors has 115 new Fords to choose from. See why. The F-150 has been America's best-selling truck for 40 consecutive years.
One is sold every 43 seconds.
SMC is where you want to be for 0% financing for up to 60 months on Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, and 0% for 72 months on Focuses and Fusions. Now is the time to take advantage of Sunbury Motors' goal to sell 102 new Fords in May. SMC's goal is your gain. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 102 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, Imports Domestics, Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, and the specials between now and Tuesday. Very impressive. Schaefer regular and light 30 packs, $12.95. Smith and Forge 24 pack bottles, $19.95. Shock Top Ginger Wheat 24 pack bottles for $9.95. Say you're having a backyard wedding. These are all good. Import, they also have water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is second to none, especially if you love the dills and the barrels like I do. It's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. Time now for the Sports Bozo of the Day. It's your basic $2.6 billion stadium. That's why the Rams are moving to Los Angeles, have already moved to Los Angeles. I drove by the site of the stadium, the proposed stadium, back in January. I had to ask, is this it really? Because there was nothing there but dirt. Well, now they say it's rained so much in Southern California, they're not going to be done until the just before the 2020 season. Now, let's do this by the numbers. Stan Kroenke, the owner of the Rams, is worth $7.7 billion. His wife, Ann Walton, heiress to Walmart, is worth $5.5 billion. You can't get crews out there to start getting this thing done? Really? Are you kidding me? They have more money than Luxembourg. And they better have it done by 2020, because guess what? They host the Super Bowl in the 2020 season. All right. Time now to bring in my brother. Ah, yes. Can pretend we're throwing rice here at this point.
Stakes are high. Sports trivia. Loser gets married tomorrow.
Oh, here we go. You better throw it then. Well, now I should point out that she's awesome, so...
She is awesome.
So she's awesome.
That's and, so funny.
But there you go. There's your big intro today.
Well, thank you. I'm a very, very, very lucky man. And
yes, you are.
Took me 60 years to find her, but, well, we're here, and we're here to stay. So,
yeah.
All is good. Very, very lucky. The woman saved my
life. Well, that's okay. We'll talk to her. We'll talk to her at some point and find out if she shares the same sentiment. All right. So.
Now she's mad. She's got to have something over her. Nah, I'm lucky.
All right.
To get a quality lady like her is just...
No doubt.
Yeah, so...
No doubt. All right, so we're doing trivia today. I suppose you have your four questions ready?
I have 80.
80, good. Well, that means you're 76 over the top. That's good.
Okay.
And Sean, you have your four ready.
You betcha.
And then there's me. I'll just kind of make it up as I go. I've got 80 fewer ready than Kevin does. But that's okay. I'll come up with something when it's my turn.
All right. Well, I can throw the first question out. I might as well. I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, for you guys here, I'll save this one for last. Here we go. Okay, I'd said to Steve at the opening jump, I fear I had one layup out of the three. I'll just throw this one out first. What are the two oldest stadiums that host Major League Baseball games? The two oldest stadiums that host Major League Baseball games.
Fenway Park
easier.
And Wrigley Field.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah, but okay, but what's the third oldest?
Oh, come on. All right, let's see.
See now, Sean, now you see, like I said, I don't have any questions prepared, but I can roll, baby.
I would say the first the third oldest, for some reason, the first stadium that came to mind for me would be Comiskey Park.
No.
Mine would be, I was going to say Dodger Stadium.
It is Dodger Stadium.
Boom.
It is Dodger Stadium. Ah, big score.
Well,
okay. Who's next?
That this kind of goes with your lead in there with L.A. Have you seen the 30-30 on ESPN about the Brooklyn Dodgers moving to L.A.?
Yep.
It's very good. And how they kicked all the Mexican people off the property. And it was actually, it wasn't about the Dodgers moving, it was about Fernando Valenzuela and how he saved the franchise because the Mexicans came back to watch him pitch. But up to that point, they were very cruel to them. It was like an eminent domain type of thing. And
right.
They lived
yeah,
on that property where that stadium was built.
I just drove past it, Chavez Ravine, down in that area.
Yeah, it was all Mexican housing, and they kicked them all out. They had no place to live. It was awful. But they knew they had to sign a good Mexican player, and they found him, and he saved the franchise. So, anyway, that's why I knew that answer, because I had just watched that. So
there you go.
Yeah. Okay. What's next?
Well, Kev.
Okay, I'll give you. I'll give you guys the next one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This is a combo job for you guys. Derek Jeter's number two was just retired. Number eight has been retired by the Yankees as well, but it represents two players. Who are the two players? It's the only one that represents two players.
Well, one, Yogi Berra.
Yep.
I believe the other number eight is a catcher as well, correct?
Yes.
Campanella?
But I thought he
Dodger.
He was a Dodger.
And his number is his number 39 is retired by the Dodgers.
So I knew the other one was a catcher, but I can't remember the name right off the top.
Losers.
Elson Howard.
Number 32 is already retired. That's his number.
I just know
I can't think of another catcher.
I just know it's a catcher, but I don't know the name.
Howard wore 18 with the Red Sox. Let's see. Bill Dickey.
Bill Dickey.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yogi stole all the thunder, so. Wow. So why was he allowed to wear it if it was retired?
Because they retired Bill Dickey's in 1972 at the same time as Berra. They retired at the same time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Kevin, you get to dive into your 80-pack there. And
all right. How many eyes does a spider have?
I thought this was sports trivia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had that in trivia crack last night. Okay. I got it wrong. Has eight. Okay. Washington Capitals goalie earned the nickname Ace the Net Detective. What's his name?
What, the current guy, Braden Holtby?
No. What Washington Capitals goalie earned the nicknames Ace and Net Detective?
Well, obviously, then it's not the current guy, then.
Yeah, Ace and Net Detective. I don't know.
Steve?
Well, I had originally said Braden Holtby, but evidently that's not correct.
No, answer is Jim Carrey. Remember Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his nickname.
Wow.
Okay, what's next?
For Ace Ventura and Pet Detective, he was Ace Ventura
Net Detective.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I found a boxing question. As heavyweight champion between 1937 and 1948, this boxer won 25 consecutive championship fights.
Heavyweight?
Heavyweight.
Joe Louis.
You are correct.
Joe Louis.
And you are correct.
All right. Jim Brown led the NFL in rushing every year in his career but one. Name the one player that beat him out for the rushing title.
Oh, I know this. Ernie Davis.
No, but at least it's the right era.
I'm trying to think of what year it was in Brown's career that he didn't win the rushing title. Like, if it was his final year of his career.
It was not. He won the rushing titles last year.
Okay.
So Gale Sayers is out. All right.
Frank Gifford.
Good guess. But Jim Taylor of the Green Bay Packers.
Jimmy Taylor. Okay. That's kind of what I was thinking when I said Ernie Davis. All I've heard that before, heard the question before. So that's a good trivia question.
I'm just making it up as I go, boys.
Oh, that's a good one. I like the ones that you learn something, you know.
We're learning.
Okay. My turn?
Yep.
Boxing question. What nickname do boxing fans call the 300-pound Eric Esch, king of the four-rounders? You guys know this.
I've never heard of the guy.
300-pound boxer. Popular.
I'll say two-ton Tony.
No. Sean? You know this.
Butterbean?
Yes.
Butterbean. Eric, boy, was it Eric Butterbean Esch, I think was his real name?
Yeah, Butterbean.
The Butterbean.
Remember him? Yeah. He was a bull.
That was about, what, 10, he was about, what, 10, 15 years ago? Something like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Butterbean, the bald head. He'd come out there, he'd round, but, man, he could hit.
So. I'm on the board. Okay. Baseball. Since 1900, he is the only major league pitcher to win 30 or more games in a season four or more times. He's the only major league pitcher to win 30 or more games in a season four or more times.
I'm going to throw out Denny McClain.
No, he did it once.
Yeah.
It was not.
And we had. And by the way, we had Denny McClain on the show, what, 2 years ago?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
So
he made a stop at Bowman Field in Williamsport, part of an appearance area. I will give you a hint. It was not Cy Young.
Right. That I knew.
Man, I know who this is. God, I know who it is. I've read it. Because my first thing was, wow, Denny McClain had one.
If he won 31 in 68.
It's 1903, 1904, 1905, and 1908.
I'm going to say Jack Chesbro, who also won 41 games for the Yankees 1 year.
Ooh. Phenomenal guess, but incorrect.
Wow.
I don't know. Don't know.
Christy Mathewson.
Whoa. Oh, Christy Mathewson.
Christy Mathewson of the Giants.
Wow. Good one.
Didn't give up a run. I don't think D did not give up a run in the 1912 World Series, something like that.
I don't know.
He was also the first to do it three in a row. First to do it four times as well.
Right.
Cy Young just missed out.
Okay. Manny Ramirez holds the record for the most career postseason home runs with 29. Who is second?
I'm gravitating to the Yankees for some reason.
Oh, the guesses are just flowing in.
No, it's like right on the tip of my freaking tongue.
These are brainbusters. They're good, though.
Yeah.
They're making us think.
Yeah, because...
like I'm making these up as I go. I didn't prepare anything.
Yeah, we don't even know if your answers are right.
That's exactly right. You don't. You can look it up, though. I'm pretty sure I'm right.
I'm going to say Reggie Jackson.
Okay. Sean?
I'm with him. I'm not...
Bernie Williams.
Really?
He was a Yankee.
Wow, 22 of them.
Wow. Wow. See, I was thinking Yankee, but then I was thinking like Jeter, and I was thinking other players that no way that could go yard that many times.
Mm-hmm. That's the remarkable thing about Babe Ruth's career. Babe Ruth, for 39 seasons, held the World Series record for home runs, 15, and consecutive scoreless innings as a pitcher, 29 and two-thirds. He held both records for 39 years as a hitter and a pitcher.
Wow. That's amazing. I would love to see him in today's game. What would happen? He had tremendous eye-hand coordination. Just second to none.
I think the media would be all over him to the point where I just don't know how he'd handle it.
He'd tweet. So, anyway. Who is the only tennis player to have won each of the four Grand Slam events at least four times?
Male or female?
Who is the only tennis player to have won each of the four Grand Slam events at least four times?
Well, there's only one person I know that's won that has won the Grand Slam twice. But I don't think this is going to be the correct answer because he was in an era where he got knocked out a few years because of the pro amateur thing. And that's
okay,
Rod Laver.
Stop you there, or it's a female. I'm going to go right. Sean. So whoever he isn't it?
That's who I was
Rod
thinking.
Rod Laver won the Grand Slam twice. Yeah.
Rocket. Martina Navratilova.
It's a female. No.
Steffi Graf.
Yes. Yeah. That's why I didn't want to give female right away because you can narrow it down pretty quick.
The men's side is more difficult because there was an era in the 60s where they only let amateurs into some of these tournaments. And some of these guys turned pro, like Rod Laver. Rod Laver won the Grand Slam twice. He's the only person to do that. Are we out of questions here?
I can throw in one more. This was
all right. One more.
We'll throw in one more. We'll wrap up.
Yeah,
on this.
But we're also running out of time.
Yeah, well, I could save it till next week.
No, just let it rip.
Okay. All right. Derek Jeter started over 2,600 games at shortstop. Name the only active player with 2,000 starts at any position. Name the only active player with 2,000-plus starts at any position. So it's a it's someone that's currently playing.
Wow, what a good question.
Only active player with 2,000-plus starts at any position.
Yeah. Clay Buchholz is out. You're a major league player, 2,000 starts.
One of the Molina brothers.
Molina? Yadier Molina?
Yeah.
Yadier Molina has over 1,550 at catcher.
That was close.
Loser.
That was close. Let's see.
You are close, actually.
Yeah.
Let's see.
By the way, kudos goes to Jason Stark. That's who I got the question from.
Wow. Oh, God. He's got to be good, whoever he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2,000 games.
Yeah, 2,000 starts. That's an Iron Man. Dustin Pedroia.
Nah, he wouldn't have 2,000. He probably has 1,600, right?
It's not Pedroia?
Not Dustin Pedroia, no.
I don't know.
Don't know.
Adrian Beltre at third base.
Oh, wow.
As earlier this week, 2,578 starts at third base.
You know,
very quietly done, too.
Chase Utley has over 1,500 at second base. Albert Pujols has over 1,670 at first base. And Ichiro Suzuki has over 1,840 in right field.
Wow.
The only Grand Slam I've ever seen in person at a major league game was hit by Adrian Beltre.
He was tremendous. He is tremendous.
No, he is.
He deserves a World Series ring.
Yep.
He is a tremendous player who gets it done quietly, you know. Doesn't need a lot of fanfare. He goes out and he plays the game the way it's supposed to be played.
I think he played 1 year with the Red Sox, and he hit a grand slam to beat Cleveland. They let him go. Well, I thought it was one of the worst moves they ever made. Yeah. Like, you got to keep this guy. This guy can play.
He's great. He was a great player. And they have not replaced him at all. You know, you think about the guys who played third base for the Red Sox. Nothing going on there. They've gone through how many different guys, and they have not replaced him. And he only played 1 year. So, hey, that was fun.
It was fun.
I enjoyed it. We'll do it next week because, you still have 74 questions left.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch. Actually, I got more than that. I got one right here. Do you want to keep it to certain sports or just everywhere?
Anywhere.
Any sport.
Okay. Yeah. That was fun. Well, we all got one right?
I think. Pretty close.
Tomorrow's the big day. Sean and I are going over to Brewer's Outlet to celebrate.
I'm in.
Have a good time.
Congrats, Kevin.
You and Sean are going to be sitting at the same table for Megan's.
Love it.
All right. Sean, you're going to Megan's wedding?
I will be there.
Awesome. We'll meet.
Finally.
You'll meet my bride.
I can't wait.
Yeah. We'll have a good time.
I already told the police.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.